This week, coming back from vacation, it's always kind of an odd thing. And there's a mix of emotions going on because I just was thrilled with my time with my family, and yet there's always a level of excitement in getting back. And my normal weekly schedule is Monday is my study day. And so you'll hardly ever see me at church, and it's just kind of Monday is just me and Jesus and the Word, and I just kind of get prepared for what I'm going to be talking about on Sunday, and I kind of put myself in some hole somewhere, and I do that, and it really sets me up well. And if I don't do that, I feel like I'm behind the eight ball. Well, this last Monday, my father had surgery. Had back surgery, went out on the prayer chain. Thanks for those who prayed. He's actually doing very well. It was an outpatient. It's crazy what they can do now. Outpatient back surgery, if you can believe that. And he's doing quite well, and thanks for your prayers. But of course, I wasn't studying a lot on Monday. I was with my dad and spent a lot of time at the hospital. So kind of felt like I already got behind the eight ball on my first week back. Not so good. But Monday night, Tuesday, kind of crammed and worked pretty hard and came up with what I felt like, okay, this is a good sermon. And really what I felt, okay, here's where we're going to go. Well, we got to our staff meeting and we talked and discussed everything and played some air hockey. And then, all right, just making sure. And so after the staff meeting, I thought, you know what? I think I need to go in a different direction. And so then Tuesday night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, crammed and wrote sermon number two. And it was okay. But I didn't feel real settled about it. And for some reason, there just was sort of even all week, and I think a part of that was coming back, but just kind of an unsettledness. And as I was leaving, I asked Debbie, actually, I said, Deb, will you just be praying for me like Friday night, tonight? I got a wedding all day tomorrow that it's going to take up a lot of my day. But I don't know, I'm just not feeling like here. And so anyway, but I went home and the sermon was basically done and written and got home that night and had a good night with the family and was getting ready to go to bed. And I've gotten into this habit of just reading a chapter before I go to bed. And normally it kind of just makes me sort of relaxed and I kind of settle in. And it's a great way for me to just kind of get prepared for bed. And I'm reading actually totally out of my favorite book. Of course, it's the book of Mark. And I was reading in chapter... I'm not going to lie. If you had a book named Amida, you'd be, right? It'd be our favorite. All right? So I was reading out of the book of Mark. I've read it 300 times this year. No, that's not true. But it was chapter 13 is where I was. And I want to encourage us. We're going to do something just a little different this week. I'd like to encourage you to grab your Bible in the pew in front of you. I know we normally put all of the verses up on the screen, and if you're new this morning, it's going to be a little different, but please grab a Bible, everybody, if you would. I know this isn't normal, but I'm really going to encourage you to do it. Turn to Mark 13, which is on page 849 in your pew Bible. It'll actually be turning over to 850, but start on 849. Chapter 13 of Mark. Actually, it begins, and the disciples are looking at the temple, and they're saying, wow, look at these beautiful stones. Isn't this awesome? And Jesus said, a time is coming when none of these stones will be left on the other one. And then the disciples go into this question, and they say, Jesus, when is the end of all things? And what will be the signs that the end is upon us? What's the end going to look like? And how will we know when the end is coming? And then if you keep on reading, that whole chapter of Mark 13 is a discourse, basically, that covers Revelation. So the entire book of Revelation is squished together right in Mark 13. And so I start reading this, and I read about the first 3.5 years of the tribulation and how it's going to be the early signs and earthquakes and different things. And then I read about the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel when the Antichrist will sit on the throne in the rebuilt Jerusalem temple and he'll blaspheme the very name of God. And my mind is like racing back now to the study on Revelation that we did this whole last year. We're halfway through it. We're going to be starting to back up in September. And so my mind is now going. Then I read the last half of Mark 13, and it's all about then the future and like what's going to come in the second half of the tribulation. And I'm getting ready for bed. And my mind is racing, and my heart is getting stirred up, and I'm thinking about the end, and everything in my plans is to go to bed. Read with me starting in verse 35. This is how I ended my time at 10 o'clock on Friday night, 2 days ago. Therefore, verse 35, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you, what does that say? Asleep. And what I say to you, what he said to his disciples, he's now saying to all, stay what? Awake. So it's 10 o'clock at night, and I'm reading my chapter that puts me to sleep, and I'm getting very comfortable and very cozy, and the last two words I read are, stay awake. And the Holy Spirit prompted me, and he said, Mark, why don't you stay awake? Why don't you just stay awake and spend some time with me? I've told you I've done that before. I've stayed the night. I read it in the Bible where Jesus said that Jesus spent the night in prayer. And I remember the first time I read that and thought about it, I'm like, seriously? Like, he didn't go to sleep? And I don't read of Starbucks in Israel in that time. So I'm thinking, how do you stay awake all night and pray? And this is years ago now. And I said, well, I'm going to try it. And so I stayed up the night and I prayed. And the Holy Spirit said to me on Friday night 2 days ago, he said, why don't you just stay awake? And your pastor said, no. And I went to sleep. And I got very comfortable. And I fell asleep. And God was stirring in my heart. And he was showing me the end times. And he was showing me that it was near and that it was close. And he told me to stay awake and pray for some people. And I said, no. And I had a dream during that time, and I dreamed about a neighbor, a super neighbor, if you will. This is a neighbor who needs Jesus. And I haven't prayed as much for him as I probably could have. And I had a prayer about him. And at 1:30 in the morning, my stove, which is electronic, went berserk. Beep, 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 beep. Annoying, right? And I got up and I started looking at it and messing with it. And I'm like, I don't know. Just shut up, stove. That's my like cure for things. Just be quiet. So I went and laid back in bed. Beep, 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 beep. Andrea. Andrea. You hear that? I don't know what to do. That's what happened. She got up. Sorry, she comes back in. Flip the breaker. A few minutes later. Beep, 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 beep. Okay, God. I got up. I flipped the breaker. Thought it would be fine. Said, okay, God, I'll pray. In bed. Went back to bed. Tucked in. Started praying. Got about 30 seconds into it. Beep, 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 beep. Okay, I'm up. And I got up, and I turned the breaker completely off, disconnected power, and I went and sat on my couch, and I started praying. And I stayed awake. And I started thinking as I was praying, am I spiritually awake and engaged? Am I spiritually drowsy, or am I spiritually asleep? Where are we at as a church? Where are we at as individuals? Are we spiritually awake? Are we drowsy? Or are we asleep? I know what it feels like to be in any one of those states physically, and so do you. You know what it feels like to be physically awake. A good 85% of you are there right now. We know what it feels like to be drowsy. And those of you who are doing the head bob, and we know what it feels like to be fast asleep. Where are we at spiritually? How wide open are our spiritual eyes? Are we seeing people? Are we engaged in the battle? Are we understanding that the end is near? That it's coming fast? That Jesus will return soon? Or are we falling into the rut of being physically awake and spiritually drowsy? So my final message, number three, is entitled Stay Awake. There's not going to be any PowerPoints. We're going to do everything from the Bible, partially because it got finished this morning, but also because I wanted to do something different. I wanted to do something. It took me three beep, 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 beeps to wake up. It took something different. I was very comfortable sleeping. What is God going to need to do to wake us up? I want you to turn, if you would, what is it? Spiritual sleepiness. Turn, if you would, with me to Ephesians 5. We're going to start in verse 13. Page 978, Ephesians 5. Page 978. We're going to go through each of those. Spiritually asleep, spiritually drowsy, or spiritually awake. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 13. But when anything is exposed to light, anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Spiritual sleepiness is spiritual uselessness. It's being useless for the kingdom. It is as good as being spiritually dead. You may be alive spiritually. You may have put your trust in Jesus. And if you've put your faith in Jesus and what he did for you, you are saved. The Bible says you can be secure, you can have the knowledge, you can know that you have eternal life. But things can also get in the way to put you to sleep spiritually so that you might as well be dead. Paul refers to it as affective blindness. Yes, your eyes have been opened, but you're practically blind. You are as good as spiritually dead. There's nothing going on in your life that is bearing any fruit. So selfish, so self-absorbed, so culturally driven, so consumed with me, that I have no fruitfulness for the kingdom. That is spiritually asleep. That quote, arise, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. That's a quote from Isaiah. Turn with me to Isaiah very quickly. It's page 612, Isaiah 51, 17. Isaiah 51, 17, page 612. He's going to say it twice. Wake yourself, wake yourself. Stand up, O Jerusalem. What's it going to take to wake us up? If I yelled, would that help? Wake up! And I'm speaking to myself. Mark, wake up. See. Get engaged in this battle. Get engaged in the reality that the end is coming. And if people have not trusted in Jesus, there's only one place that they are destined for. Look over just on the next page that's opened up, verse 50, chapter 52, verse 1. Awake, awake. Says it again. Wake yourself up. Awake, awake. What is it going to take for us to awake? What's it going to take? Spiritually asleep. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know that. But if you're spiritually alive, but you're spiritually asleep, it's time to wake up. If you've trusted in Jesus, but you can't remember the last time you've really thought about someone else and their spiritual well-being, it's time to wake yourself. And God is ready to help wake you, but it is time to wake yourself. I think much of the American church is asleep. It's asleep. We're selfish. We love sitting in very comfortable, air-conditioned sanctuary auditoriums and comfortable pews. But what if we had to meet in the middle of the night, in the cover of dark, on our knees, on a dirt floor? What if we had to meet like that? What if it didn't fit into the prescribed package that we've made it fit into? What if the speaker wasn't engaging and engrossing? And what if it was just weeping before God? Would you still be interested in church? Would I? We've fallen asleep. Much of the church, we've fallen asleep. We'll talk about why in a little bit. How about spiritually drowsy? How about if we're just not fully asleep, but we're nodding off, doing the spiritual head bob? There was a church in one of the churches in Revelation. Turn with me to Revelation 3, please. It's the church in Sardis. Revelation 3, we're going to read the first, three verses of Revelation 3. Church in Sardis was located right in the middle of Asia. It was kind of a go-between city, so kind of like Hinckley, where you'd go from Duluth to Minneapolis, you're going to hit Sardis. Sardis, where you're going to hit Hinckley. And Sardis was one of those kind of cities, right smack in the middle. We can, at certain times and seasons, live out what these churches were living out. To the church in Sardis, Revelation 3. I don't know if I said it. It's page 1029 in your pew Bible. And to the angel of the church in Sardis, write, "The words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works." Look at this. "You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God." You have a reputation. The church in America has a reputation of being alive. We are a Christian nation. Or we were. We have a reputation. Does Bayside Baptist Church have a reputation of being alive? I don't know. I can't tell you what people are saying. I hear some things. Reputation. Are we living on a reputation of being alive? Or are we alive? And are we awake? And are we passionately pursuing Jesus with all of who we are? That amazing song that we sang, "Oh, the Wonderful Cross." It bids us to come and, did you catch it? What? Die, that we might truly live. Are we willing to come and die for the sake of the gospel? That we might truly live. I wrote down a list. Signs that we may be spiritually drowsy. These, by the way, come out of my life. Every one of these comes out of my life in seasons when I am spiritually drowsy. You're going to wish Tom was still here and my vacation was longer after this list. Signs that I may be spiritually drowsy. I'll read and I'll browse the internet for hours, but I struggle reading and studying one chapter out of God's Word. I'm more concerned about my house and my yard than I am about my neighbor's spiritual house. I care more about watching the Olympics than going through our church-wide prayer devotional. Every day, I focus and I plan around what I will eat for three meals. And I forget that many people around the world won't have one today. I can quickly memorize lines from my favorite movie or a new song, but I haven't memorized a new verse in the last year. I'm consumed with my job to the extent that I forget my true role as an ambassador for Jesus. I care very much about the clothes I'm going to wear today, and I ignore the deeper, true reality that unless my unsaved friends are clothed with Christ, they'll be eternally separated from God. I'll very quickly respond to a text message, but I can hardly recognize the prompting and the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm very committed to my hobbies, my activities, and my leisure time, very committed, but my ministry commitment is the first to go. I may be spiritually drowsy if I spend much more time complaining than rejoicing. I may be spiritually drowsy if any extra money in my pocket means extra for me and what I want rather than extra to give. I may be spiritually drowsy if I fill every free moment of time with entertainment rather than taking actual time to be still and know that He is God. I'll tell you all about myself and my hobbies, but I'm afraid to tell you about my Jesus. I may be spiritually drowsy if my life is all about me rather than about Jesus and you. Spiritually drowsy. At a minimum, we go through seasons where we are spiritually drowsy. God tells us to stay awake. Stay awake. We are to be spiritual insomniacs. Yes, we go to sleep physically. We need our rest. But we are never, ever, ever to fall asleep spiritually. We are to spiritually stay awake. Does God want to take all my fun? No. He wants to give me a passion and a mission for what really counts. God is not about taking my fun away. He is about filling me with a passion for what He cares about and for what matters. Does God want to steal my joy? No. God is not interested in stealing my joy. In fact, He's the giver of true joy. And our culture is lying to us, saying that joy comes in stuff. Joy is not the American dream. Please, can I get an amen? It is not. Joy is not the American dream. Joy is following the hard road of Jesus, which is the road of the cross. That's joy. God doesn't want to steal our joy. He wants to give us real joy. To experience passion and mission and true joy, I must stay awake. Spiritually asleep, spiritually drowsy, or spiritually awake? Let's talk about spiritually awake. Turn with me to Luke 21, please. Luke 21, it's on page 881. Luke 21, we're going to start in verse 34. He is going to give us, first of all, three things in these verses that make our heads nod off and get sleepy. He is going to give us three specific things that will make us drowsy if we're not careful, spiritually drowsy. And then He's going to give us a recipe to stay spiritually awake. Jesus talking. Verse 34, Luke 21. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down. And now He's going to give us three things that can weigh our hearts down and make us sleepy. With dissipation, that's an interesting word. It's the only time in all of Scripture that Greek word is used. And it's a pain that leads you to actually be like you're having a seizure. Did you know that pain, even though it's a reality for all of us, can make us spiritually sleepy? Remember pain relief as an idol? Pain and the focus, the over-focus on pain can make us forget that there are other people who have a greater need even than our need for pain relief. We read through last school season the lives of many missionaries. And as I was reading through the lives of Cameron Townsend and others, Nate Saint, their lives were filled with pain, incredible pain. And they did not veer from the course that they had because of the pain that was in their life. They didn't veer. Pain, that word dissipation, can actually make us spiritually sleepy. I'm not highlighting pain. I'm not encouraging it. I'm not diminishing your pain. But I'm saying we have to move beyond our pain to the deeper spiritual reality that there are lost people who need Jesus. And that's what he's referring to, dissipation. Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Drunkenness is a picture of the satisfying of the flesh. If all we want to do is satisfy our own flesh and live that type of a life, we're going to be spiritually blind and we're going to be spiritually drowsy and sleepy. And the cares of this life, that's the third thing. Life is full of cares. I know if I could sit down with any one of you, you would express something that is on your heart today. And I'm not diminishing that. Life is about things that are tough and things that are challenging and things you have to work through. But if we get so focused and wrapped up in those things, we will forget the spiritual reality, the deeper reality that we are ambassadors for Jesus. Three things: pain, drunkenness, cares of this life. That day may come upon you suddenly like a trap. Verse 35. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Verse 36, he gives us the recipe. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Verse 36, stay awake at all times and pray. How can we know if we're asleep, drowsy, or awake? Please hear this. A passionate and committed prayer life is a wonderful sign that you are spiritually awake. A passionate and committed prayer life is a sign that you or I are spiritually awake. Please don't think I'm preaching at you. On Friday night, the Holy Spirit prompted me to stay what? Awake. And what did I do? I'm not proud of that moment, but I want to let you know I'm not preaching at you. This is what God wants us to hear. Stay awake. Very rarely am I bold enough to say this is a word from the Lord for us, but it is. It is a word from God for us today. Stay awake. And he spoke it to me first. Stay awake, Mark. Stay awake. You really want to have a revolution on your knees? Then you need to stay awake. Then you need to get up and pray like you've never prayed. You need to be on your knees, Mark, and pray. Pray like you've never prayed. Seek me like you've never sought me, Mark. Stay awake. That's his message for us. That is his message for us as a body, as a family, for who we are. It is to stay awake, watch, and pray. That word watch literally means to be sleepless, to be spiritually sleepless. We don't slack off. We don't know when we catch ourselves getting drowsy, something gets us right back going. We are to be passionately committed as followers of Jesus, being his ambassadors to a world. Amen. That is who we are. We must stay awake. I want to close with Matthew 26. Turn there with me, please. Page 832. Pastor Thomas referenced this last week. Matthew 26, verse 36. Page 832. Jesus, right before the cross. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." That word watch means stay awake, be sleepless. Stay engaged in this thing, disciples. Peter, James, and John, you are the three who are going to take this now. When I go, you are the three. You are the ones. You are my followers. Stay awake. Peter, James, and John, and Mark, stay awake and watch. Be sleepless. And going a little further, he fell on his face and he prayed. This is Jesus pouring out his heart. "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus understood there was pain in his future. He understood very clearly he would be experiencing more pain in the next 12 hours than any human would ever endure or would ever endure in the history of mankind. He was ready to do it. But his flesh didn't want to go. But he prayed, as Pastor Tom said, the most courageous prayer, which is, "Not as I will, but as you will." Jesus poured his heart out to his Father. Verse 40. "And he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you not be sleepless for 1 hour? Couldn't you stay awake? Peter, you had big talk going there just not that long ago. You sure spoke like a Christian, Peter. You did a lot of the right stuff. Peter, when I came back to work on Tuesday and my head and my heart weren't in it, I realized I came back to a job. And it was a job for me for most of this week. And Saturday morning at 1:30, it became a mission. And I understand it's still a job, but God woke me up. And he's waking us up. He has plans for us, Bayside. He has plans for us. He has a significant reason why we are right here in this season at this time. Are we awake? Are we willing to stay up and watch and be sleepless and get wrapped around the spiritual reality that our neighbors are going to spend eternity separated from him unless they hear and respond to Jesus? Watch and pray. "So you could not watch with me 1 hour?" Verse 41, "Watch and pray. Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is" what? "It's weak." My flesh was weak and tired on Friday night at 10 o'clock. And I went to sleep. And God woke me up through an annoying stove. He woke me up. But he woke me up much more than physically. What's it going to take to wake us up? What's it going to take to get us so engaged in this battle? According to this, prayer is committed, passionate prayer life is not only a sign that you're spiritually awake, but it's a method to stay awake. It's not only a sign, a good sign that you're awake, but it's a further method to stay there. Over and over, Jesus says, stay awake. He's saying, if you're awake right now, praise the Lord, stay awake. If you're drowsy, wake up. And if you are spiritually asleep, do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to become awake. We're going to take a few moments and pray in complete silence. worship team, I'd like you guys to pray to. I want all of us. I know we normally don't have a lot of times of silence in church, and it might be awkward, but I want you to pray. I want you to ask God if there's any areas where you are getting drowsy. And if you're awake, I want him to ask you to give you the strength to stay awake. Ask him to break your heart for people. Because that is what breaks his, is people. Who's in your life that doesn't know him? Who's your neighbor? You got a face? You got a name? You got a person that comes in? If you could see one person come to Jesus before the end of 2012, who would it be? Are you on your knees for that person? Am I? If you could see a family have a radical transformation because of the gospel this next year, who would it be? Do you pray earnestly? Do you pray diligently? Are you on your knees? Am I? Let's take a few moments and pray. You know, in the middle of the night, that beeping was shocking. My stove beeping was incredibly shocking. And sometimes in the middle of the day, silence can be alarming. And silence can be tough. Sometimes we fill our days with so much noise so that we won't have to be silent. Because then God would speak. And his Holy Spirit would prompt. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit would convince you of what you need to do. Not condemn you for what you're not doing. Our enemy is about condemnation. Please don't take condemnation from this morning. But if there was some convincing that needed to go on, and there was in my life and my heart, and I'm convinced it's not over, but if there was convincing and there was a voice, don't ignore that. That's the God of the universe who loves you more than anyone on this face of this earth could. Wanting to draw you in. We're done this morning. We're not going to sing. You can pray some more. I'm going to stay here and pray for a little bit. If anybody wants to pray, you can come forward and pray. You can stay where you are and pray. There's a revolution. There's a revival. That's a coming back to life. That's on the horizon.